Let's talk to Dave Damschek, NFL media analyst and host of the Dave Damschek football program at Damschek on Twitter. Dave, thank you very much for doing this. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're all trying to stay warm. It's incredibly cold here. Where are you today?
Well, you're not going to like it. I'm in relatively warm and sunny Los Angeles,
compare. So, is that where you live?
I don't know if you heard, that's where I'm located, yes.
Beautiful. You're a lucky man.
Yes, especially in pro football terms, since we might have not one but two playoff teams in January.
Yeah, let's talk about the – I hadn't gotten to the Rams yet. I was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, who's just been a revelation since he started his career. Now two of those wins were with New England, but now he's won four in a row with San Francisco, so we'll get to that. But let's talk about this Rams team that Sean McVay has done a great job. I love Jeff Fisher saying that, hey, I set this team up to succeed, but Sean McVay has done an incredible job, youngest coach in the league. His quarterback, Jared Goff, is a guy that people are saying after his first year, of course, people like to jump to conclusions, quick conclusions. But Goff was a bust, and now all of a sudden he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And the defense is just absolutely ferocious, and Todd Gurley's been unbelievable and may be the MVP of the league.
Yeah, it's funny to think, speaking of that, in a league in which a quarterback always wins the MVP, it's funny to think a couple of weeks ago, had the Steelers beaten the Patriots in Hines, which I think a lot of people think they did, but the overturn of the catch at the end. But you think if Antonio Brown hadn't gotten hurt and the Steelers had won that game, it probably, the MVP race comes down to a wide receiver versus a running back. It probably would have been Antonio Brown versus Todd Gurley. As it is, I think you can make a pretty good case for Gurley to get it over Brady.
And now, because people on the East Coast, and we're on the East Coast, don't get to see the Rams and the last few years and since moving back to Los Angeles, which, of course, look, they play in a massive stadium with a ton of seats, so there's going to be empty seats no matter what, just because the place holds 90,000 people. But how important is it for this team to go deep in the playoffs in terms of getting that fan base to move over to the new stadium, which is going to be the most pricey stadium in pro sports on all levels?
Yeah, it's one of those things that comes up all the time, and I think is based more around the stereotype. People love to say people in L.A. don't care about sports. They have better things to do, as though everybody's out surfing. Is that, yeah. And in fact, people literally cite that all the time. People are off surfing. And, I've lived out here for 19 years now, and the closest I've gotten to surfing remains watching Point Break on cable.
Great movie.
It's a classic. It's Clash of the Titans. But people will care here and do care as much as they do in any other city. As the team elevates, the more people are going to be interested in it. It's not like just because the Rams are from here. I mean, they've been gone for 20 years. The idea that everybody should flip a switch and suddenly be engaged by these Rams just by their mere presence is not going to happen. But as both these teams play better, their fan bases respectively grow. And it's not insane to think it's crazy going into week 17 here. Who is the best team, at least in the AFC? It seems fairly clear that the Patriots and Steelers are the two best, and the Jags are dangerous with that defense. But it's not implausible that Phil Rivers and the way that Chargers team has played, that they could run the table in the AFC. And then over on the NFC side, who's the team? Who's definitely going to the Super Bowl? Nick Foles, Case Keenum? I don't know. I mean, you could certainly say that it's going to be Jared Goff and company, and if that happens, you might have L.A. v. L.A. up in the Twin Cities, which I guess would be appropriate given the name Twin Cities.
Yeah, it's incredible when you look at the teams that are in the upper echelons of the upper echelon of the NFC. you know, the Eagles, who would have expected that? The Vikings, maybe, but, you know, a great defense again. And the Eagles have a lot of high-end talent, but again, who thought Carson Wentz was going to do what he did? But the Panthers, another team that's a surprise bounce back year from Cam Newton. The Rams, a complete surprise. The Saints, a complete surprise. So out of the six potential playoff teams in the NFC, four of them are kind of big surprises. And I think that that's good for the NFL because it puts the focus back on the field. There's been too much talk off the field.
I think that, you know, what's intriguing about them, and by the way, I like to pat myself on the back when I have the opportunity, so I shall do so now. Who saw the Eagles? I saw the Eagles. I predicted them in August to win that NFC East. But yes, I think the thing that Philadelphia has going for it, and I don't want to overstate it, but as you sit, and I just heard you talking about the juniors and how cold it's going to be and so on. I mean, legitimately, I understand that most guys in the NFL these days are from Florida, Texas, California. They're all warm weather guys, or a lot of them are anyway. But still, there is something to be said for having just been back in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago for about a week. You do acclimate. And if you are a player on the Philadelphia Eagles, you're probably more predisposed at this point to playing in 5 degrees or 0 degrees or worse than that. Do you think Drew Brees and the Dome Saints want to go up to Philadelphia for a playoff game? Do you think the L.A. Rams want to roll in there? That's the puncher's chance I think that the Eagles have with a nasty defense. And those two big physical runners that they've got are not an accident. That's not a fluke that they have LeGarrette Blount and now Jay Ajayi. That's a formula that can work in January in a hard-to-figure NFC playoff picture. I'm not saying Drew Brees. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, Drew Brees is the one guy. Well, you mentioned Cam Newton as well. I mean, that's the other guy who's dangerous. You know, in a 60-minute tournament, one-and-done kind of situation, is that the guy you want to go up against in a big-time January playoff game? Those are dangerous teams. It's really hard, though, after 16 weeks. All the evidence we have, we still really are not clear on who the best team in that conference is.
Okay, before we get to your Shecky Awards, which you released on your podcast, let's talk about this NFL rules change stemming from the Tom Savage concussion several weeks ago. They jointly stated today that no one will be disciplined despite a clear breakdown that led to Tom Savage returning to the field. And basically saying that the incident was unacceptable, and instead they've instituted a series of changes to the concussion protocol that have been implemented, and I won't get into what those are, but that was one of those things where you were watching it and you couldn't believe what you were actually watching.
Yeah, that's right. You know, but once it moves into the legal realm, I hesitate to weigh in only because I like to talk about football and sports and such. I have no law degree. I don't know what happens with behind closed doors. That stuff is beyond me, and whatever the league and the players union and so on do is over my head one way or the other.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it was a pretty, when you watch it actually happened, it was just scary to watch. It was just one of those things where you couldn't believe that they let the guy go back into the game after he was having what looked to be a seizure on the field.
Yeah, I agree. True.
Yeah, just frightening. So let's talk about your Shecky Awards on your podcast. Tell me what the Shecky Awards and who are some of the winners?
Well, the Shecky Awards I've given out since back in the last millennium. Academy Awards, the Oscars take care of the current movies, the Grammys take care of music, and I take care of all the rest, including Best Fruit, Worst Fruit, Best Residual, Cereal Milk, Uniform Matchup, Sports Town that suffered the most in the calendar year. Important issues like that.
That sounds like a whole lot of fun. It sounds like you enjoy doing it.
I do enjoy doing it. Yes, it's a great deal. It's important work. You know, how could we possibly proceed if we didn't know what my favorite alphabet letter and worst alphabet letter in a given calendar year.
Yeah, I don't know how I could live without it. Dave, thanks for doing this. Last question, as far as the playoff picture goes, Buffalo Bills fans, this is a Buffalo Bills area. Buffalo Bills, I won't say town, Toronto is. There's a lot of other teams that the roots for, but we're very close to Buffalo. Hey, what are the chances they get in?
Pretty slim, and, you know, people are wringing their hands over what Sean McDermott did back in, I think it was week 11, maybe, against the Chargers.
Yeah.
And, I don't think it's histrionic to say that was obviously a mistake. We don't know what would have happened had Tyrod Taylor started that game. But we do know that Nate Peterman threw four interceptions in the first half, and that game was over before Tyrod Taylor ever jumped into it. So, yeah, it really is crazy. What, you know, as you go back and look at that, what really was the thought process of doing that? It may cost them a playoff spot because I don't think they're going to squeeze in there in this season. And it really, like I say, I mean, it's really a head scratcher because had they not done that and had that, because of course the one of the key aspects of that, if you think about if that, they were playing the Chargers, who were, so that loss not only hurts them but elevated the Chargers, a playoff rival themselves. But you know, you just think about if they would have won that game, I mean, they'd be in now. Essentially, they would basically have to lose here to miss the playoffs. They really could have gotten in there after all the August and early September shakeups there that were really confusing. What are the Bills trying to do here? It seems as though they're intentionally scuttling their 27 season before it kicks off, and lo and behold, they went, you know, as opposed to past Bill seasons in the last 15 years or so that started off promisingly, this one has kind of sustained itself all the way here past Christmas. They're still in the playoff hunt, but you just wonder what would have happened. What would have happened had they put Tyrod Taylor in there instead of Nate Peterman, inexplicably.
Dave, thank you very much for being on the program. We will talk to you soon, and have a great 2018.
You too, man. Take care.